I'd like to read a couple of scriptures this morning. Always like to start that way and speak out of that. The first is from James chapter 4, a few verses from there, verses 13 to 16, where James is talking about not boasting about tomorrow. And he says this, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas," he says, "you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what's your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." The Greek word there is aphanizo, means to cause to disappear or even to destroy. It'll vanish away like a vapor. Instead, you ought to say, "If the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that." But now you boast in your arrogance, and now you boast in your arrogance, all such boasting is evil. That's an interesting thing to say, that when you are saying we're going to do this, we're going to do that, there's a reliance on your plan, which may or may not come off. He says that's arrogance. I do like to preface sometimes, I find myself checking myself when I say, we're going to do this, or we're going on a holiday there, or we're planning this. I feel a check in my spirit, and I often say, and some might have noticed it, I often say, "God willing, this is what we'll be doing." The Muslims do it. In that, they're more correct than us. "God willing, this is what we plan to do." Anything other than that can be arrogance, James says. Now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. What is your life? It's a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Now listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter 1:17. "Conduct yourselves throughout your moment-to-moment sojourn here in reverential fear." Now I've translated that or interpreted a little. He says, conduct yourselves throughout your time of sojourn, but the Greek implies your moment-to-moment sojourn here in reverential fear. The word for time there is chronos, which is sequential time as a succession of moments. And this scripture from Psalm 31, verses 14 and 15, which say, "I trust in you, my God, my times are in your hands." Amen. I want to speak this morning about time and what we trust. Time, chronos time, is a construct that God created for his special creation, mankind. It is but a construct. He made a creature with an I am, like his I am, a creature in his likeness and image. We have an I am, just as God is and has an I am. We're analogous to him. We are spirit beings placed within a carriage that we call our body to carry us through our moment-by-moment time journey. The realm in which we live is time. The realm in which he lives is other than time. It's outside of time, known as eternal or eternity or everlastingness. This realm in which we live has the appearance of substance and solidity. Appearance. God made it to appear solid and to respond as though it was solid, but it's actually temporal, it's of time, and also temporary. All of this will pass away, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Quantum physics is revealing that all of this is more like a hologram. When you get down to the very tiniest particles, when you discover that light itself is made of quanta or particles, you begin to see what an incredible creation this is. Our world, our universe, is a little bit like a hologram being held together by God. At the quantum level of tininess, if you like, Newtonian physics don't apply. Things are altogether different. We and the apparently solid world around us, what people call the real world, is not as solid and as real as we think. And not only is time a construct, but quantum physics demonstrates that at the very core of everything, at that level of tiny, tiny, tiny particles of which everything is made, all is granular, light is granular, made of particles, and at that realm, uncertainty is what appears to rule. Now I want you to follow me here. Randomness is what appears to rule. Particles can never be pinned down to a location. This is a remarkable discovery since the early 20th century of quantum physics. There was a scientist called Heisenberg, and he proposed this uncertainty principle, which says that you cannot know the position and the momentum of a particle at the same time. Here's a layman's explanation. The world we live in appears to be definite. Something exists or it doesn't. An object is either here or there. You're either alive or dead. Quantum physics, however, is famously counterintuitive in this sense. The quantum world is fuzzy, where the definite is replaced with probabilities. A particle can be here or there or a mixture of the two. And we can only predict its location with probabilities given by something we call the wave function. Now, it says that, for example, a light particle, there's a famous experiment called the double slit experiment, which I don't want to try and explain this morning because I can't. But a light particle, for example, or quanta particles, are only in a defined position when they're observed, which begins to suggest that all the things that we see are only there when they are observed. I mean, this is extraordinary and remarkable, but if you read anything about quantum physics, you'll discover that it's quite counterintuitive and quite strange. But it is what the essence of things is. At the very ground, at the very foundation of everything we see in this universe, the principle of uncertainty and randomness is what prevails. However, behind the uncertainty, behind the randomness, is a government. God is in charge of the uncertainty and the randomness, which makes him bigger than I thought he was. If every particle is governed by God, then what the scripture says about by him all things consist becomes even more real. So time is a construct made by God for this creature made in his image to live within. I want to share about living within time. Here's a definition of time. Time is the indefinite, continued progress of existence and events that occur in apparently irreversible succession from the past through the present to the future. That's just a human definition. That's a good definition. Time is the indefinite, continued progress of existence and events that occur in apparently irreversible succession from the past through the present to the future. Time is from and to. It appears to be directional and irreversible. What happened to the moment just passed? Where did it go? Has it gone into some abyss? Did it die? Is there a graveyard of past moments? Does each moment occur and then fall into a hole never to return? Can they be resurrected? You don't have to think like this very long to realize that we don't know very much about time, the nature of time, even though we live in it, we use it, we take advantage of it. The Bible says it's like a vapor. Just appears for a little while, like steam out of a kettle, appears for a little while, and vanishes. One instant it's apparent, the next you can't see it. We don't know where. We are creatures of time. In Schiphol Airport in Amsterdam, there is a clock. It's on the top of your notes there this morning, a little picture at the top. Two pictures of it. There's a clock, which is actually a transparent screen, and onto the back of the screen is projected the figure of a man who every minute erases that minute, the minute arm, erases it, dips his roller into a little paint pot, and paints the minute arm to the new minute. That goes on 60 times an hour, 24 hours a day. This figure, you can look it up on YouTube and you'll see him doing it, but it's a projection on a screen. I'm not sure how they did it, but it's there in Schiphol. It's the man in the clock. It's man in time, but he appears to be creating time, painting each minute in as he goes. But we cannot create time. Time doesn't so much pass as though we were detached observers watching it go by. We are within it. Like the man in the clock. We're within it as the events that constitute life occur, instant after instant, providing moment after moment after moment, a place for me to be, and for me to exist, and for me to dwell. I want to try to get through to us the mystery of what we live in. The mystery of this thing called time. We take it for granted. We try to save it. We try to conserve it. We live in it. And it unfolds before us moment by moment by moment. I exist within it. I am within it. So where does it come from? Here I am, walking like this in time, like a carpet unrolling in front of me, but where's it coming from? Where is time? What is time? Where's it coming from? Could it be that there can be no future unless God keeps on making it? No time unless God keeps on permitting it and making it, creating it. No next instant, no tomorrow, unless he makes one. Now, time isn't a right. It's not a right that I have. It's a moment-to-moment gift to me to steward wisely. In my view, time only exists because God keeps on creating it. One instant at a time, as it were. Scientists speculate over what it is. Some say it's like a flowing stream. It's got an upstream and a downstream. And we are inserted into it at a point. And it's flowing, and we get into it and we flow with it. We're carried along. Other scientists argue that it's granular or particulate, like time, like light, and that the particles are infinitely small. What a mystery. Whatever it is, you and I, we have been made to live in it and on this directional arrow that we call time. Directional because in our experience it only ever goes forward. It's always ahead of us. Time is always ahead of us, but we can't know what's ahead of us. Therefore, we shouldn't say, tomorrow I'm going to do this and this and this and this. We should say, God willing, there'll be a tomorrow. If it's a stream, you can't see downstream. You can see upstream in your memory. So you can see up there, you can remember going to school, you can remember all kinds of stuff that happened. So you can kind of see upstream, but you can't see downstream. We can speculate. We can guess about downstream. We can hope, but not know. Nobody knows but one. Amen. The all-knowing, the all-caring one. So, here's the question this morning. Why don't we know? Why are we living in time? Don't understand it and don't know what is down there. Why is time like this? Time is the construct. It's the created space potentially ahead of us, potentially in front of us, in which events and things may occur, but we have no idea whether they will. If they will. We don't know 30 seconds ahead. We may assume that in 30 seconds I'll have said some more words and you will have heard them. And you might have thought, when's he going to finish this? And where's he going with this? But we cannot tell in 30 seconds. Will a phone ring? Will there be an earth tremor? Will one of us die? Well, I hope not. But I've used the word hope. We can hope that something will happen. We hope for a future. We hope there will be more unfolding of moments and minutes and hours and time. But we can never have certainty about that. Never have certainty. And all of us have had those crushing, almost impudent ingresses into our time, right outside our expectation. like an alien intrusion, like an insult almost, or an affront, when things occur that we were not expecting. We're driving along and somebody cuts right across in front of us and smashes into a telegraph pole. No way could we have known that was going to happen. Someone's walking along, a branch falls from a tree and almost kills them. Someone we didn't expect to see knocks on our door. Someone suddenly suffers a stroke. Someone suddenly flies planes into tall buildings. Millions of people did not expect that. 18 people are killed when the Tower of Siloam falls on them in Jesus' day. And Jesus spoke of his appearing again as unexpected and sudden. Life is made up of unexpected uncertainty. Unexpected things and uncertainty. Everything and anything can change at any moment, any instant of time. Why is it then? Why is it that forever ahead of us is uncertainty? Why? I suggest to you this morning, it's because we are made for something. We are made to live in uncertainty, but we were made by God for trust. Trust. There is nothing we can trust but God, who knows what is down there. Made for something quite counterintuitive to our fallen condition. Trust. Not in anything within time, because all those things are frail and uncertain also. Not in wealth, money, friends, family, status, position, knowledge. None of those things. We're not made to trust them. They are all uncertain. They too can vanish in a moment. We are made to trust the one who does know, who is there already. As I pondered this, I thought, I wonder if Eve and Adam, if that was one of the things that Eve was tempted to know. That tree was of knowledge of good things and things evil. The Hebrew word ra means things adverse or unpleasant. I wondered if she perhaps coveted prescience, coveted foreknowledge. I just want to know what's going to happen. We're all a bit like that. If only I knew what was going to happen. God says, no. No, I didn't make you for that. I know what's going to happen. I want you to trust me. Trust. I mean, men spend millions of dollars prognosticating, trying to remove uncertainty about what may happen to stocks and shares and gold and politics, all sorts of things. We were made to know not what is ahead, but who is ahead, the provider and master of time. And his expectation in making us was that we would trust our Creator. We would trust all and everything to him. The next moment, the next day, the next month, the next year. We were made to know not what is ahead, but who is ahead. Now, humanly speaking, the only thing ahead of every one of us is uncertainty. The only thing ahead is uncertainty. The only certainty is uncertainty. That's so. The only certainty is uncertainty unless we know the one who is certainty. Amen. Uncertainty is used by our enemy to do what? To foment anxiety. He uses it all the time. Oh, what's going to happen tomorrow? Oh no. What will happen next week? What if? He uses that all the time. All that uncertainty he uses to plant anxiety and breed anxiety within us. Now we can allow that to happen. Or we can step into the one who is certainty and say, I don't care, Lord, what happens tomorrow. Israel Folau says, I don't care what happens to my career. I just want to love and follow Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. That's it. I'm in the one who is the future and has taken care of it all. If I die tomorrow, I know where I'm going. Praise God. He provides. When we're in the one who is certainty, he provides and cultivates peace in our lives. I couldn't help but ponder this scripture as I thought of these things. Isaiah 26:3. It says this, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. We have to look at what our mind is stayed on. There is nothing else that will stay our minds but him. Everything else is fragile and passing and transient and temporal. He is not. Our minds must be stayed, anchored, fixed, grounded in him. And listen to what happens. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. That's all he's asking of us. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me, he says. Every morning when we wake up, he says, trust me. I've gone ahead of you. Do you know what the Hebrew says there in Isaiah 26:3? You will keep him in shalom, shalom. Perfect peace. The only place in the scripture the word shalom is used twice like that. You will keep him in shalom, shalom. His mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Hallelujah. Perfect peace. Perfect peace. That's where we're intended to dwell. Abraham discovered it. He discovered the one called certainty. He called him. What did he call him? Jehovah Jireh, Yahweh Yireh. You know what that means? The seeing ahead Lord. That's what it means. The seeing ahead Lord. God of prevision or provision. God who sees ahead. He asks us to trust him. He asks us to let him be our eyes ahead. Like a guide on a rough mountain pass who's 20 or 30 metres ahead of us, making sure the way is safe, saying, I'm here, you can just walk in my footsteps. Our eyes ahead. That's our certainty. And of course, that's what the world balks at. It's too big an ask. I want to trust my nest egg. want to trust my friends. I want to trust my experiences. I want to trust how I feel. I want to trust my PhD, my job, whatever. It is a big ask. But to those who will allow him to be that, to be our certainty, and who will walk in it, to them comes the shalom, shalom. To them comes the calm assurance, freedom from fretfulness, loss of anxiety. That's how he wants us to live, in his rest, in the place called time that he created for us, so that we would trust moment to moment. Yahweh Yireh got to that mountain in Moriah a long time before Abraham got there. Well, enough time for him to make sure there was a ram caught in thorns there. He was there waiting when the trusting Abraham arrived. And when Abraham arrived, certainty revealed itself in the moment, in the moment, in the moment, because Abraham trusted God. That's how it works, if we trust. And I'll finish with this. There's actually no option. There isn't any other option, is there? Because all those other things that you might want to put your trust in, it's merely a hope, it's a vain hope. Oh, well, you know, one day I'll get my inheritance, or this will happen, or that will happen. That's a hope in an uncertainty. If you want to live like that, well, many people do. That's all they've got. You're just putting your hope and your trust in things that are like you, temporary, temporal, can vanish at any moment. Jesus talked of the deceitfulness of wealth. That's one of its deceptions. Paul talked of the uncertainty of riches. Things are of the same temporal nature as us. Why would we trust them? Why? Why would me, a temporal entity, put my trust in another temporal entity? That's folly. I must put my trust in certainty. He asks us to trust him, to travel the time journey with us. Time and its maker call for trust. The vacuum ahead, uncertainty, the vacuum ahead brings responses from every person. They are either attempts to mitigate the uncertainty, as I've said, with trust in temporal things, or we trust in him, and that results in peace that passes understanding. Behind the uncertainty, behind the apparent randomness that appear to govern the universe, at every level actually, there is an ultimate government. The uncertainty is all under control. Everything that occurs, all things, for those who love God, he is working together. He is synergizing all things. Think of your circumstances today and say, yes, that's part of the all things that God is working together for good for me. The scripture says, by him all things consist and are held together. The Hebrews says that he is upholding all things by the word of his power. It's his government for which we were created. The option for which we were created. Having fallen, We have the option of putting our trust in all of those temporary things, or of putting our trust in him. It's called the kingdom of God, the government of God. There is a next step, and a next after that. We hope there will be a tomorrow, but we do know that God is already there. And as we arrive there, we're arriving with him. That's the believer's true hope. Anxiety and stressfulness can be put another way. Untrust. That's what anxiety and stressfulness is. It's untrust. It's saying, oh, I don't really trust you. I really need this, and I need this around me. I've always had this. I've always had that. They make me feel safe. God says, let it go. That's not what you trust. Your trust is in me. I'm eternal. I'm there. I provide the certainty that you long for. To trust him is to untrust the other stuff. Is to die to that and to live in him. And I put the words of an old hymn, I think, on your notes. I thought Bob and Mavis might be here this morning and we'd get them to sing it for us. I'm sure there's others here who know this old one. You know, when I was young, I got some of my best theology from some of the great hymns. Dying with Jesus by death reckoned mine, living with Jesus a new life divine, looking to Jesus till glory doth shine, moment by moment, O Lord, I am thine. Never a trial that he is not there, never a burden that he does not bear, never a sorrow that he does not share, moment by moment, I'm under his care. Never a heartache, never a groan, never a teardrop, never a moan, never a danger, but there on the throne, moment by moment, he thinks of his own. Never a weakness that he does not feel, never a sickness that he cannot heal, moment by moment, in woe or in weal, Jesus, my Saviour, abides with me still. And the refrain is, moment by moment, I'm kept in his love. Anyone know? No. Moment by moment, I've life from above, looking to Jesus till glory doth shine. Moment by moment, O Lord, I am thine. Isn't that good? Moment by moment. Praise God. That's how we're called to live. Let's go into this day and into this week walking into that certainty that's in him and not falling for the trap of trusting everything that the world trusts. In Jesus' name, amen.